Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place and another episode of Fire and Desire with your host, Prophetess Valerie Burwell and Prophet Rodney Feeney. Prophet, are we excited to be back on the air?
Amen. We are excited to be back from the continent of Africa. Always good to be back home.
Amen, amen, amen. We want to thank you all for your support, even in our absence. The numbers were well, and we're just grateful to God that the word is still going forth, that people are still being blessed, constantly being blessed by what the Lord has released through Fire and Desire. And as always, you know, we want you to receive and be empowered, and then after you're empowered, we want you to share and empower someone else. So we just bless God for doing just what he said he'd do.
Amen.
Amen. Today we're going to talk from the subject, is it possible?
Yes.
Is it possible?
Amen. Yes. Yes.
Is it possible? Amen. Amen. And Prophet, I'm going to turn over to you, and then we'll see how the Lord goes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Prophet Valerie. And I'm excited. I believe that this message tonight is really going to encourage our hearts tonight because of the context that the Lord is going to have me to share this with you. 1 Samuel 30 is certainly a familiar chapter, you know, in the Bible for most saints regarding David, an episode in David's life where he's, you know, coming back from the battlefield and, you know, the enemy has come and destroyed, taken wives and burned homes and things like that. And, you know, he's faced with this reality. I think one of the things that all of us realize in life, we've got to be able to face reality. And one of the things that we will get into tonight is talking about, you know, the role of faith. Faith does not deny the existence, excuse me, of anything. You know, to deny the existence of something negative is not really faith. You know, what faith is going to address what exists, the means of the Word of God. Faith is going to respond to what exists by what God is saying to that particular thing. That's faith. Some people think they're walking in faith when they have something going on, for instance, in the area of physical healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people act as though it's not there. Okay, you got a pain in your chest, you're acting on it. That's faith. You're going to have a heart attack.
Right.
Wise. You know, faith does not deny the existence of something, but faith is going to respond to something based on the Word of God, or based on what God is saying to regarding that particular thing. So sometimes we get up in what we term faith, but it's really faith at all. But let's read this and let's get into this tonight, prophetess, because again, I've been really, this is going to encourage some people in the listening audience tonight.
Amen.
We get it in verse 1, again, 1 Samuel chapter 30. It says, now it happened when David died on the third day.
Prophet, you fading out. Where you want me to stop? I'll read it.
I am sorry.
It's okay.
I'll read that verse 2.
And had taken the woman captive that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, and Anoam and, Jezreelitis, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor.
Okay, thank you. You can stop right there.
Amen.
Amen. So again, this is a familiar account here, a familiar episode in David's life. And there's a couple of things that we want to focus on in this tonight. First and foremost, if we go back to look at verse 8, you know, leading up to verse 8, actually, David is having to face a real situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, his family has been traumatized. His wives have been taken. Homes have been destroyed. You know, there's chaos, there's disarray in family and home and business. And he's having to face the reality of this situation. I mean, you know, you can't sit there and deny that this thing has actually happened.
Right.
He's
right.
Looking at it, and he's feeling the effects emotionally and even physically, you know, of what has happened, you know, through the people that have been, you know, with him. Now, to even go a step further, David is actually coming back from doing the work of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's a man now who has chosen. He's made a choice to invest his life in the purpose of God and in pursuit of the things of God. And so you would think that something like this ought not to happen to someone who's serving God like this.
Yeah.
Amen. But nevertheless, it does. And he's having to face the reality of it. He's having to deal with a group of people now who are not encouraging him, who are no longer supporting him. He's having to deal with the fact that he's got a group of people with him now who no longer trust his gift. They're not really trusting his judgment concerning these particular matters any longer because of what has happened. Amen?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's something that we need to consider, you know, because there comes a time when people around you might not trust you anymore.
Yeah.
There comes a day when people might, who at one time believed in you, don't believe in you anymore because of the way things may have played out in your life. So the question is, what do you do? What do you do when no one is encouraging you regarding what the Lord is leading you to do?
Yeah.
What do you do when you become distressed and despondent and discouraged? Amen. What do you do? How do you respond to the situations we're in now? Your support system that you're used to and accustomed to having is not there.
Amen.
But before we address that question, Prophetess Valerie, let's go down to verse 8 because I want to set the stage here with what takes place in verse 8. The Bible says David inquired of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And basically what David is asking the question, is it possible?
Yeah.
Is it possible in the face of reality?
Mm-hmm.
In the face of the fact that my family is all messed up and things are all in a disarray, there's chaos, is it possible for me to recover all?
Yeah.
And so that's the question that I want to put out there today. Is it possible? Let's work with that now. Is it possible for me to have joy, peace, mm-hmm. and the abundant life that God promised me to have in the face of the reality of the situation the way they are in my life today?
Yeah.
Amen.
And that speaks to, you know, I've heard someone minister from this particular passage of scripture about how it happened when the men were away.
And, amen. Right.
You know, and I said that's significant, but what you have to understand, even though the men were away, if they were away on purpose, doing the things that God had commissioned them to do versus men just being away, you're looking at two different scenarios. But like
exactly.
You're saying here with David, he was doing what God had instructed.
Exactly.
So while
exactly.
he's away, in the midst of him obeying God, now all this chaos is taking place.
Exactly.
And that
exactly.
happens with a lot of us, that sometimes when you're obeying God, when you're doing the will of God, those that are closest to you, when you come back to it, it's in disarray. And you're saying, God, what happened here?
Exactly.
Did I miss you? Did I miss something?
Right.
Was I really supposed to do that? Because
Amen.
I'm thinking that once that got done, that when I came home, everything would have been in place.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And people of God need to understand this happens in life.
Yes, it does.
This happens in life. This is reality.
Yeah.
Okay, this does happen to us in life.
Yeah.
And this is an opportunity when something like that does happen. Something like this does happen. This is a great opportunity to get an attitude towards God.
Yeah, yeah.
And if a lot of us were true and honest, we would admit that there have been times that we've gotten an attitude towards God.
Yes.
How could you allow something like this to happen to me, God? You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it, with consideration of, you know, that I'm out here doing my best by the grace of God to fulfill your purpose. I went there because you told me to go there.
Yes.
You sent me there to do this, and I come back, and this is what I got.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you get an attitude with God. What do you do when you get an attitude with God? How do you recover from that situation? Because, see, that's not a place you can afford to stay too long.
That's right. That's
I mean,
right.
Come on now. If anybody going to help you, it's going to be God.
It's going to be God.
Amen. So none of us can afford to stay in that place of having an attitude towards God too long. You can't afford to stay that whole day, a week, a month. Being
yeah.
mad at God. You got to get over that quick. So these
and a moment
things that,
real is too long.
Amen. Exactly.
A moment is too long. A moment
exactly.
is too long because when you begin to entertain a thought, that's when you start the process of a manifestation or a process.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But
Amen.
These are questions I believe that we need to ask ourselves. We need to make. We need to conduct an assessment regarding ourselves. How do I do when it comes to recovering from situations like that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, do I get past that? You know, if there's no one there encouraging me to get past that, am I able to strengthen myself in God?
Yeah.
Am I able to, by the grace of God, do I know how to pick myself up by the grace of God?
Okay.
If there's no one there, you know, these are things that I've got to know how to do. The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. He wasn't getting it from nobody else.
Yes, yes.
You know, they had an attitude towards him. You know, so when you're in a situation like that, and the day will come that you're not getting the support, you're not getting the encouragement. God is speaking something to you that is off the chain, and people are not understanding. People are not seeing. And people are speaking against what God is telling you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not getting the encouragement from your support group that you're accustomed to having. How do you work your way through that process? You know, or do you do well with that? Do you know how? Have you trained yourself to strengthen yourself in God in the midst of a situation like that? When you don't feel like it, when you are just discouraged, do you know how to pick yourself up by the grace of God?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we can never depend on someone always being there to pick us up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen.
And you said something, too, about the ones that you were accustomed to supporting you.
Yes.
We've got to get to a place that we have confidence in who we are in God all by ourselves.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
we know that often people come into our lives for seasons and reasons. And
yeah.
so once they fulfilled whatever that assignment was or is, we don't expect them to be there for the next thing because it may not be why they're there.
Exactly. Exactly.
And sometimes
that's absolutely
by
right.
going back to the ones who've encouraged you in the past, by going back to them, that'll sometimes stifle you because you're dependent upon what they
yeah.
have to say or pour into your life. And they may be, like you said, they may be operating contrary to where God has taken you, but you're going to rely on what they say to be what you need to hear, and you hold dear to that. So you're
Amen.
Knowing that God is speaking, I need you to go this way. But
yeah.
you go back to them, and they say, well, you know, I really thought this, and then you start to question, well, I don't know. So you got to be careful with that. Although you've been accustomed to receiving the accolade and the support from this particular group of people, sometimes enough is enough.
Yes.
There should be no voice greater than the voice of God giving
That's
you
right.
instructions as to what comes next.
Amen. Absolutely. Yes.
Amen.
So there are two very important things that David shows us in this episode of his life. The first one is he knew how to strengthen himself in God.
Amen.
He knew how to recover by the grace of God. He knew how to work himself through the process when he wasn't getting the support from anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He knew how to pick himself up by the grace of God when he was down, when he was discouraged, when he became depressed. He knew how to recover from that, you know, and something that we all need to know how to do. You know, there are times when, you know, you might be physically exhausted, but yet you need to be in position for what something God is setting up for you. You need to know how to encourage yourself, how to motivate yourself in the Lord so that you can make sure you stay in position, stay in the ready position for what God is setting up for you. The second thing that's very important in this particular text that we learned from this episode in David's life is David knew how to discern the will of God.
Amen.
He shows us that. In verse 7, when he called for the priest, he asked the priest to bring him the ephod.
Yeah.
The ephod is a vestment. It's part of the priestly garment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, along with that ephod, along with that vestment, came also was included something called the Urim and the Thummim. It's what the priest used to discern the will of God. You know, I liken it to like throwing dice or dice.
Yeah.
You know, they use the Urim and the Thummim to cast lots. And then they interpreted what the Urim and the Thummim were reading, and they would discern the will of God by means of that. Well, today we don't use Urim and Thummim. We don't cast lots because we have our own personal GPS system, navigation system within us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it's the Holy Spirit's assignment to help us navigate our way through life. But one important thing that you have got to understand is that you have got to know how to discern the will of God for your life.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to learn how to do it. We've all got to learn how to do that, because there's going to be times, again, where God is going to be leading you in a unique way. He's going to be leading you in a way that's going against the grain. He's going to be leading you in a different direction than most people are going. And you've got to be able to discern that, and you've got to be able to trust your gift in spite of the fact that others might be speaking against it, others might not be in agreement with it.
Yeah.
Very important that we mature to the place where we can discern the will of God for our lives. And again, this is what David is showing us here in verse 7 when he calls for the ephod, and he inquired of the Lord in verse 8. And basically, again, he's asking, is it possible?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible for me to recover? That's where I want to just take a minute. I want to just sit down right there, Prophetess Valerie, and I just want to get people to think now. Is it possible? Now, when you ask that question in a general church audience, everybody always says yes, because, you know, the scripture comes to mind, all things are possible to him who believes God. That's lip service. Okay, that's a real good lip service, and that'll preach most of the time.
Now,
what you have to do before you answer this question is what you have to do is you have to look at the reality of your situation.
Yeah.
You look at the reality of your situation. Is it possible to have a happy family, a happy marriage, a healthy family, a healthy marriage, when you're looking at it and it's all messed up right now?
Is it possible?
Yeah. Is it possible to have something healthy when it's sick and messed up now?
My God.
Amen. Is it possible to have a strong home life when it's torn down and burned up and jacked up now?
Yeah.
We've got to be able to look at the reality of our situation and then respond in faith.
Yeah.
Amen. I can't deny the existence of the way things are in my life right now. It is what it is. But God, amen, I've got to be able to look at the reality of the situation. And this is what David is going through the process of. He's seeing now the reality of the situation, the wives are gone, the homes are burned down, and all this chaos is taking place. He's dealing with the reality of the situation, but he makes inquiry of God before he makes any decisions and any choices about what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he's asking God, God, is it possible that I can recover from this and get to a place that I've never been before, that's better than what I even had before? Is it possible? And God responded.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And see, now I like to also, you know, go down and let's go down to Abraham and Sarah's house when we're talking about this,
because
see, Sarah is dealing with the same question.
Yeah.
When the angel of the Lord came to her and said, look, you know, about this time next year, you're going to have a child.
Yeah.
And Sarah, the question she's dealing with, is it possible?
Is it possible?
When I look at my life now, I mean, my God, I'm past the age of childbearing, and I'm past the age where my body is even capable of producing something like this. Is it possible? Even she said, shall I have joy at this age? Is it possible for me to have something that will bless me like this at this age?
Amen.
And so, you know, on Sunday at Overcoming Kingdom Impact Ministries, when I was sharing this, I said it this way. Looking the way I look now, is it possible? I'm not as slick as I used to. I don't have the hair that I used to have. I don't have a lot of things that I used to have. I got some stuff in places that I didn't have before that I wish I didn't have. I'm missing some things in places that I wish I had. I got gray where it used to be black. I'm bulging in places where it used to be tight. But when I look at all that, when I look in the mirror, prophet, and see the way... is it possible? Glory to God.
Yeah, God.
Is it possible? See, some people, you can't stand to look in the mirror.
Mm.
You can't stand to look at the reality of the situation and respond in faith. But you got to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You got to be able to look at what it is and still believe and still declare, yes, it is possible. It is possible for me to have a healthy marriage. It is possible for me to have a strong family. It is possible for me to fulfill the purpose of God. It is possible for me to have joy. Does it make any difference how old I am? Does it make any difference how bad? It is possible for me to be financially secure in spite of the debt that I may be looking at today.
Amen.
It's possible.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, it is possible.
Amen. Amen.
But see, we've got to be able to respond to that question affirmatively as we are looking at the reality of the situation.
But you said something key, Prophet, in that, you know, even while you're talking to yourself about the possibilities with God and his plan for your life, one key thing you said was that it takes maturity.
Yes.
So even when you're asking the question, is it possible, you have to almost ask yourself, am I there yet?
Right.
Because only when I'm there to really be able to embrace everything that God is doing, when I've matured to that place, then that helps me to really understand and embrace the fact that, yes, it is possible.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, it is possible. But I think too often people have, and I'm not going to say in all churches, but in many churches, people have been relying on the voice of a leader.
Yes.
And it's been diminishing who they are spiritually and not hearing God. So while they're listening to that voice, and that voice is not even seeking God to give you the instruction, it messes you up mentally to the place that you're not secure enough to even say, okay, God, I trust you, but let me call pastor.
Right. Amen.
I trust you, but let me call prophet. So God is like, look, you've got to get past that because pastor's not going to always be there. Elder's not going to always be there. Prophet's not going to always be at your disposal, but I'm going to be there. I'm always there.
Always there. Yeah.
So when you get to the place when you can bypass them and come straight to me, that's when it becomes easier for you to accept the fact that, yes, it is possible.
Amen. 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 Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, we go right back to the two important things that I shared that David teaches us here by the Spirit of God. Number one, I've got to be able to encourage myself in the Lord.
Yes.
When I look at reality, and it doesn't look good at all.
Yes.
When I look at the reality of my situation, and it's so far removed from what I believe God wants me to have, that if I look too long, it might discourage me.
Yes. Yes.
There's a lot. Come on now. There's a lot of us. There's a lot of you listening tonight. When you look at the reality situation, it discourages you.
Yeah. Yeah.
While you operate in denial mode.
Wow.
Because you know to look at it is to get discouraged.
Yeah.
To consider it, to entertain the thoughts of it, is to get discouraged. So you operate in denial mode, but that's not the approach that you need to take.
Amen.
You've got to get to the place where you can look at it and you understand that if I get discouraged, I know how to pick myself up. I know how to encourage myself.
Amen.
And again, the second key thing here is you have to mature, like Prophet is saying, you have to mature to a place where you can individually discern the will of God for your life.
Yeah, amen.
You got to do that. You got to get there. You got to get to that place. You have to get to the place where you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He is your personal GPS. He is your personal navigation system.
Yeah.
And his assignment is to help you navigate your way through life.
Yeah.
The third and final thing that I really want to get into and talk about tonight, Prophet, is the fact that what has taken place in a lot of people's lives is we do too much in the way of comparing our lives to someone else's life.
My God.
And that will serve to discourage you as well.
Yes, it will.
Everybody's life has different dynamics. In the book of Psalm, I think it's, in fact, it's Psalm 33, verse 15, it says, it talks about, in verses 13 through 15 in Psalm 33, it talks about how God looks from heaven and he sees all men.
Mm-hmm.
But then it says he fashions hearts individually.
Yes.
So even though God sees us from a corporate perspective, he deals with us on an individual basis.
Mm-hmm.
It says he fashions hearts individually. Every life has a different blueprint.
Yes.
And every life, as a result of that unique blueprint, will have a different dynamic. Now, one of the things that we need to begin to do now is the fact that you need to begin to identify the dynamics in your life that's actually working right now.
Amen.
It might not look like what someone else has. It might, your dynamic might not and probably will not look like what someone else has. Stop looking at them, desiring what they got. Perhaps, you know, you and your husband, you know, you're not at that place where you all push it together, you stretch hand in hand and all that kind of stuff. But nevertheless, you're going to church and you're getting in there and you're in position to receive what God wants to give you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dynamic that's in your life right now. That's working right now.
It
might not be exactly what you want, all right, but begin to celebrate that right now.
Amen.
Celebrate what's working.
Yeah.
You know, so many times we don't celebrate what's working.
Nah.
You know, it might not be what somebody else has. It might not look like what someone else has, but nevertheless, it's working for me right now.
Yeah, amen.
It's working, and I need to celebrate it.
Amen.
You know, as long as I keep looking at the next person, looking at the next couple, looking at the next marriage, looking at the next career, and comparing my situation to that, that's only going to serve to discourage me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've got to begin to celebrate my life. I've got to begin to celebrate the good things, the things that God has experienced and the things that God has done in my life that's working for me right now.
Amen.
My life is not going to look like your life.
Amen.
The dynamics of my life are different. There are things that my life requires. And things that's necessary for me that you don't necessarily need.
Amen. Amen.
But that's the dynamic of my life. That's things that's important to me that are not important to you.
Amen.
That's the dynamic of my life. Amen. And so, again, he deals with each of us individually. We got to begin to be able to understand how God deals with us on that level because we have too many people that are comparing. And we're following someone else's pattern. We're trying to duplicate someone else's blueprint. And that causes distress. That causes discouragement in our own life because it doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
It's not going to work for you. And so we got to learn to celebrate life. We got to learn to celebrate. Amen. Begin to celebrate the husband that goes to work every day and brings home the paycheck every week. and make sure you have gas in your car to go and to do, and make sure you get home safely. Perhaps he go everywhere you want him to go with you. But you need to learn to celebrate the good that's there.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You know, we got married couples, and you know, unfortunately, Prophet, I sit there and wonder sometimes because I see the wife come in the door, and I'm thinking that the husband didn't come today, and then 5 minutes later he comes in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that's working for them, God bless them.
Right.
If that's working, God bless you. But you know what? I think that, you know, if it were me, I would want to come in the door at the same time.
Amen.
But you know.
Amen.
But you know, if you're going to get into comparison, do you want 5 minutes separation, or would you rather have you know, what you got now? You just come in and it ain't no drama. There was some drama going on in the car before when they pulled up on the lot, and that was the reason why one came in one time. I mean, you know, film now, that might be what you don't see.
Right.
That drama
right.
going on, you know, that might be a variable that you're not seeing,
mm-hmm.
but yet you're desiring what they have.
Yeah.
So quite the dynamics that are working in your own life.
Yeah, amen.
Now, you know, you can go. You can sit. Your husband doesn't stop you from going. He encourages you to go. He doesn't get in your way. He makes sure you're sufficient, and, you know, you have gas, and make sure the car is in good shape, and, you know, and encourages you to go, and you can go. You can sit and get in position for what God wants to pour out. You know, maybe the rest of your lady friends or sister girlfriends got their husband with them and all that kind of stuff, but guess what, girlfriend? You need to celebrate what you got because it's working for you right now.
Mm.
It's working. You're getting what you need. Amen?
Amen.
And so you know, we need to learn how to celebrate life. We need to identify the dynamics of our life, understand the unique dynamics of our life, and understand that there's things that are working for us, and we don't notice these things because we do too much comparing to the next person. And you know, Paul even wrote about that in the New Testament. He says, you know, those of us who compare ourselves with ourselves, it's not wise.
Mm.
It's not wise. Anytime we get into a comparison,
yeah,
self-righteous spirit,
mm.
and it is not, it does not promote the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So number one, we need to know how, learn how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. When you get down, you got to know how to pick yourself up by the grace of God.
Amen.
When you get discouraged, when you get depressed, and you don't feel like take another step. You get to the point where you got an attitude with God, or you just feel like quitting and giving up. You know, you got to learn, you got to know how to work through that process. You got to know how to strengthen yourself. You can't depend on somebody being there every time to help you through an episode like that in your life.
Yeah.
It'd be like David, you know, when his boys can't support him or don't want to support him or in this particular situation, he strengthened himself in the Lord. He picked himself up by the grace of God, and he did what he had to do, which was to discern the will of God in that particular situation in order for him to stay in the ready position to pursue and go after this blessing and to go after this recovery. Amen?
Yeah.
So number two, we got to know how. We got to mature in the things of God so that we can discern the will of God for our individual lives. Amen? There's going to be critical choices and decisions that we are going to be required to make pertaining the purpose of God for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot look at someone else's life as a pattern. That's a unique pattern, a unique blueprint for your life. There's things that you're going to have to be able to discern by the means of the Spirit of God. Amen?
Yeah.
And it's so very important, so very important. Number three, learn how to celebrate life. Learn how to celebrate your life. Learn how to celebrate the good, the things that God has established in your life that are working, even though it might not be like what someone else has. It might not be, amen, what, you know, Sister Sue and Brother Bob has. It might not be the marriage that they have. But nevertheless, it's working for you right now. You're able to get in position and receive what you need from God.
Yeah.
Amen. And so if that's the case, it's working for you.
Yeah.
It's working for you. Amen. And if you continue along that path and continue to discern the will of God, even that will grow. Even that will mature. Even that will develop. And even that will get even better. But we got to learn how to celebrate what we have now. We got to learn how to celebrate God for what's working in our lives right now. Too many times we talk too much about things that aren't working. We talk too much. We dwell too much on negatives. We don't celebrate things in our life. And that's not going to promote the development of your life in as far as the blueprint is concerned and the things that God wants to bring forth in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Celebrate life.
Celebrate life.
Celebrate it. Amen.
Celebrate all the possibilities of life.
Yes,
celebrate all
absolutely.
The hands in life. Mature
yes.
to that place.
Yes.
And I like that
yes.
about the comparison because it is true. You know, people see what they want to see, I think, when they look at others and they do the comparison.
Yes.
Because when you have any type of issue with yourself, it seems so easy to always focus on that. And, you know, you look at somebody else and say, oh, I wish I was a size 12 like that. I wish I could get my outfit. You know, I wish I could look like that. And, I, you know, it's not God didn't cookie cut us.
Amen. Absolutely.
He didn't cookie cut our lives.
Amen.
So
absolutely.
You know, we all have our own flavor. We all have our
yes.
own oil. We all have our own gifts.
Amen.
It was his intent to make all of us the same. How boring would life be? What would
absolutely.
Be unique about us?
Absolutely.
He made us unique.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The question is it possible for you to enjoy your life, have joy, like 6 or 7 say, is it possible for me to have joy
yes.
at a size 16 or even
yes.
a size 18? Is
yes.
that possible?
Yes.
Is it? Can you look in the mirror and see that you're a size 16?
Yes.
And celebrate.
Amen. I sure can.
Amen. Amen. You know, that's the question. That is the question
yes,
today.
Sure
can you look at yourself in the mirror?
Yes.
And see the reality of the situation. What's there that you wish wasn't there? What's missing that you wish that you used to have?
Mm.
You know, I don't even have the same teeth I used to have.
Well, but you still got some
Amen.
Teeth. Amen.
But guess what? It's still possible.
Amen. Amen.
It is
Amen.
Still possible. I'm missing some things, and I've got some things. Amen.
Amen.
And vice versa and all this stuff. But, I can look in the mirror, and I can still celebrate life. I can
Amen.
Look at the reality of the situations that and the negativity. I can look at that, and I can declare in the face of that adversity and that opposition that I still believe God and I trust God,
yeah.
amen, to turn things around,
yeah.
to move, to shift, to change, to transform my life right before my eyes.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I declare, that my life is changing and transforming right before my eyes.
Amen.
And amen.
You've got to know, too, that when God is transforming and changing your life, that even when he's done, you still may not have back everything you desire. You still may not look the way you feel like you need to look, but you're going to be doing things according to his plan for your life.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know,
I'm glad
I look
you
at
said
people
that.
And I say, wow, you look really good there, but, you know, I've never been small. I don't even know what that would feel like.
Amen.
To be small. I've never been there, but I'm
Amen.
Good where I am. I
there
like
you go.
Me.
Amen, amen, amen.
And God uses
you know,
all of me, and I give it to him, and it's his, he's glorified in everything
amen.
I do.
Absolutely, yes, yes, yes.
And, you know, when you can get to that point where, I told somebody that today, one of my coworkers said, some people may think that you're harsh, but you're not harsh. You are just very real about every circumstance and situation. You see
Amen.
What it is and you address it for that. And I said, I have to because God made me authentically me.
Yes. Amen. Absolutely.
He
Amen.
Made me authentically me. And because
Amen.
He did, I'm able to embrace and handle whatever he brings because it's his intent that I do something with it.
Amen. Absolutely.
And I think too often people look at it and be like, well, that's not for me. That's for them. And that's what brings on that mindset that I don't know if it's possible or not.
Right.
Because
exactly.
that's not for me. That's for them.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. You disqualify themselves with that
Absolutely.
Thought process.
Negativity
Amen.
Makes you disqualify yourself.
Yes, yes. You know, there's a man in, I think it's 1 Samuel 9, I believe it is. His name is Mephibosheth.
Mm-hmm.
Mephibosheth was lame in his feet.
Yeah, yeah.
And David goes down to a place called Lodabar, which
Lodabar,
is where Mephibosheth was staying at the time. And David, the King David, basically God uses David to transform this man's life, changes his life around, turns his life upside down, and treats him like a king to the point that he tells him, you're going to eat at the king's
table
continually. He sets him up so that the servants are going to work the field for him. So the harvest that's going to come in is going to be for his prosperity because he's eating at the king's table.
Yeah.
All this now, all this is being done. Keep in mind, he's lame in his feet.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
The thing that blows me away is at the end of the episode, at the end of the story, it repeats it. It says, and he was lame in his feet.
Yeah, yeah.
So all this took place. And he's still lame at his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what I get from that is, you know, Mephibosheth celebrated even though he was still lame in his feet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He still celebrated. You know, he's living life in spite of the fact he's lame in his feet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's eating at the king's table. I can imagine some folk now, you be at the king's table, man. You eating at the king's table.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you got this issue here, you're lame in your feet. So what? You know, God has transformed your life.
Yes.
And you can dwell on that if you want to and not enjoy eating at the king's table.
Yeah, amen.
You can dwell on that and not celebrate the fact you're at the king's table. People would exchange, you know, what people would take on being lame in their feet to sit at the king's table.
Yeah, it was going to give them that opportunity.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. You're sitting there mad, discouraged, depressed. Amen. Well, I'm not trying to teach or come across as we should concede and accept certain things. I believe that by faith we should go down and fight.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Anything that doesn't look like God, I believe we should go down and fight.
Yeah.
Believe God. But, you know, in the process of doing that, you got to learn how to celebrate life on the road of life.
Yes. Amen.
You can't wait till everything is perfect in your life to celebrate your life because you're going to be found dead somewhere and never celebrate life.
My. Amen.
They're going to have a celebration of life in your honor, and you're not going to participate because you're going to be the honoree, the one who's laid out in the casket, and you are not celebrating your own life.
Yeah. Amen.
So let's begin to celebrate life on the road called life. Let's not wait till everything is a test. Not wait till everything is perfect before we start celebrating.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Throw yourself in the party tonight. After you finish listening to this broadcast for the second time, go ahead and throw yourself a party.
Yes.
I
said that sentence, and some of y'all wouldn't even throw your own self apart.
Wouldn't
even throw yourself apart.
Amen. Wow.
Because you dwell too much on the things that have not yet been addressed.
Wow. Wow.
So you wouldn't think that your life is worthy of celebrating.
Wow. Wow.
I'm gonna celebrate life before I die. I'm gonna celebrate on the road of life.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And I think that when we learn to do that, that's going to cause an expedition, a quickness to take place, and a celebration is going to begin to take place of things that God is addressing.
Amen. When you said that, what jumped in my spirit is that when you begin to celebrate and really celebrate your own life, it cancels forfeit.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
It cancels forfeit. When you can begin to celebrate and truly celebrate your life, forfeit is canceled.
Amen. Amen.
So we thank God for that.
Amen. Absolutely. That's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
This has been good. I'm excited.
Amen.
I'm encouraged.
Amen.
I like
Amen.
Celebrating me. Amen.
Amen. I preach myself
happy. I've seen God do it.
Amen. Amen.
It
absolutely.
I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it. Listen, thanks so much for joining us this evening. Go back, listen to this again. Share it with others that you may feel need to be encouraged and learn how to really encourage themselves in the Lord because we know that God is able. He is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ever ask or think. And it is possible. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
it is possible. Join us again on Thursday. I'll be on. I'm not sure what the Lord's going to release, but I know it's going to be something, and it's going to bless your life. Pray for us, and we're praying for you. Find us on Facebook, Rodney Vini, Valerie Burwell. Reach out, and we'll reach back. You want to
pray,
Prophet?
God bless you all this evening. I decree the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, upon your home. Be at peace, be at rest in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you all.
Amen.